we're just going to set this for a new hearing, and the deputy who wrote the ticket, I think it was Deputy Lopez, as well as Mr. Rice, these are set up for a hearing permitted here. Well, this is for the date, but this is set up for a hearing October the 1st at 1:45. But are you ready? You got two different cases, Mr. Johnson, I think.
Yes, Your Honor. We can, whatever order you want, Your Honor, we can do Mr. Burian first.
All right, Mr. Burian, please come up, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Burian.
Good afternoon. The other case is brief or
I don't know if it is going to be brief or not, but that's okay, Mr. Burian. Thank you for offering that. Ms. Spearin, I do know you come from the car as well, so it seems to make sense to make sure you're able to get your case done so that it gets All right. So, Ms. Spearin, I see that you've filed a whole bunch of new things that I've not had a chance to look at.
Three cases.
Mr. Johnson, have you gotten a copy of things that he's filed?
I was just handed those.
All right. Ms. Buren, when we get to evidence on your side of the case, we'll see what it is you wish me to consider, Mr. Buren. As far as the notice of default per disclosure request at trial, Ms. Buren, I think that the things that you were trying to get from the Sheriff's Department were things to show that you were trying to get somebody to help keep the peace to be with you as you went to a particular location.
Primarily, as requesting a witness, I mentioned the other party is usually lying through their teeth and they don't want to be set up on false accusations. So.
Mr. Buren, let me ask you again the question. Rather than trying to get into reasons, I'm just trying to get you to, you were trying to get a deputy to come help keep the peace or be a witness to whatever happened at the location. Is that right?
Correct.
And the emails that you were referring to in various requests were emails to show that you were trying to do this ahead of time, is that right?
Correct.
All right. Ms. Buren, I think that I understand the state's not going to be contesting the fact that you, in fact, tried to get the Sheriff's Department to go with you to the scene, sir. You're going to be able to argue why you tried to do that at the end of the case when you argue your case, but the state is not contesting the fact that you tried to get the Sheriff's Department to come with you to help keep the peace, be a witness or whatever, and I think that the emails that I saw that you got back earlier, Sheriff's Department refused to do that, and so you'll be able to argue that for whatever it's worth, too.
Well, there's one other issue regarding emails. The copy of the email that was submitted to me was supposedly from the Sheriff's Secretary to a Sergeant Howard, and I talked to the Sheriff's Secretary at length. Which Paul did do through dispatch, so it was reported in Democracy County. But the being that I was requesting a civil standby for a specific time on Saturday, I made sure she had the spelling of my name correctly, B-U-R-I-E-N, and I had to repeat it twice to make sure it was correct. And on the email that I received, it had my name totally misspelled, not even close, as if it wasn't even prepared by her.
Ms. Buren, you're going to be able to very easily establish you tried to get a deputy there to help keep the peace or be a witness. I really don't think it's relevant whether a secretary is misspelling your name or whatever. Ms. Buren, basically, I had agreed that the header could be deleted to, do you have something to give me?
Yes, Your Honor. I just got this just recently, the headers with redacted.
Okay. All right. So if you could give that to Ms. Buren. I don't need it, though. I just want to make sure that Ms. Buren had it. In fact, I had authorized for an order, Ms. Buren, that you get the thing, but deleting the specific information on headers that was confidential and not really relevant to my mind. Ms. Buren, are you ready to proceed with the trial at this time?
As soon as I set up my equipment here.
Okay.
Take me about 2 months.
Mm. And are you ready, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, Your Honor.
And one of the motions was for Bob Lockett. He had filed notice at an operation, which he wasn't able to attend today, but I spoke to him. He said he would be able to appear telephonically.
You have an objection to Mr. Lockett appearing by phone?
Just, I don't see the relevance of the witness, but I would, I guess I would object for not finding out until a minute ago. That's my only objection, Your Honor.
Okay. Ms. Buren, go ahead and finish setting up there. And just so I'm clear, what is your laptop going to be doing or copying?
Audio files from the sheriff's records that were presented to me on CD, which I've also filed for the case in advance.
Okay.
And is there an electric outlet anywhere?
There is a sign there, Ms. Buren, but Ms. Buren, I tell you what, you're not going to be using this during the state's case, are you? You're not going to be using audio files during the state's case, are you?
Only the audio files provided as discovery and exposure.
I'll tell you what, when we get to the point that you think you need the audio, we'll get to that at that time, okay? Let me first, Ms. Buren, explain court procedure to you so you understand how a trial takes place. Ms. Buren, first off, the state is represented by the attorney, Mr. Johnson, who's going to be calling his witnesses one by one. This type of case is more formal than a civil traffic hearing you saw earlier on. And so I'll have any witness who testifies come up to the witness stand. I'll swear each witness to tell the truth. Mr. Johnson will ask his questions of his witnesses first. After he gets done asking questions, Ms. Buren, then you have the opportunity to ask questions of that witness. If you do decide to ask any questions, after you finish with your questions, then Mr. Johnson has a chance to ask further questions to help explain things you've raised with your questions. So, state's case, witness by witness, same procedure. I may or may not be asked to look at exhibits by the state. We'll deal with that when that comes up. Now, Ms. Buren, after the state finishes with its side of the case, then I'll turn to you and ask you whether you wish to present evidence on your side of the case or not. This is a criminal case, which means that you have the absolute right to remain silent if you wish and not say a word, and I will not consider that against you in any way whatsoever. However, if you wish to testify for yourself, that is certainly your right too. And if you choose to testify, you'll come up to the witness stand. I'll swear you to tell the truth, and then you'll get a chance to testify to tell me your side of the case. After you finish testifying, then Mr. Johnson can ask you questions. After he finishes with his questions, then you get the chance to finish your testimony. If you call a witness, you get to ask questions first, and then Mr. Johnson, and then you finish up asking questions of your witness. Now, if you do decide to present any of that sort of evidence, after you finish with that evidence, and Mr. Johnson again has a chance to add extra evidence to respond to any new raised in the defense. At the very end, when you listen to the state charges, usually I make a decision. Sometimes I'll take the case up to you. You understand what you're doing?
And state is a false.
Yes, indeed. That's right, sir. And I'll kind of, as we go along, I'll prompt you. It's your turn to be asking questions, or it's your turn to be presenting that. It's no test, but I just want to give you a thumbnail description. I'll be trying to do it. Okay? Ms. Johnson, then, why don't you go ahead and call your first witness?
State called Deborah Watson for the stand?
Ms. Watson, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Okay. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of the guy.
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead and tell me your name.
Deborah Watton.
Let's spell Watton for me, please.
W-A-T-T-O-N.
Thank you, Ms. Watton. Now, I think I mentioned in an earlier case, but I might as well say it here as well. The microphones in front of each one of us are recording what we say. Ms. Watton, if you could speak up loud enough so that people in the audience can hear you. That means also you'll be recorded. There's no sense leaning into a microphone because it's not going to make our voices sound louder. There's no amplification system. But as long as people say the audience can hear you, that means the microphone in front of you will hear and record what you say as well. So, Ms. Johnson, please proceed with Ms. Fontaine.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Ms. Watton, good afternoon. My first question is, on April 21st, 2012, were you located at 14825 North Deer Valley, or Deer View Trail, West of Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, and is this your residence?
Yes.
Okay, and who do you live there with?
I live there with my mom, my dad, my husband, and my kids.
And what's your mother's name?
Darlene Fuller.
And your husband?
Hank Higuera. H-I-G-U-E-R-A.
Okay. And do any children live with you?
Yes, two. My son and my daughter, Gloria Watton and John Berrien.
And are these children in any relation to the defendant, Mr. Berrien?
Yes.
And how are they related?
He's the father.
All right, so on that day, can you tell us when the first time that you saw Mr. Berrien, what happened?
As I was looking out the window, I just saw my mom and my son out there, and mom was all trying to tell him to leave, that he's not allowed to be there. Well, so I came out, and I told...
When you say he and she, could you... As
dependent.
The names of the people.
The dependent, Walter Berrien.
Okay, so... You
and my mom, Darlene.
And Mr. Berrien was already at the residence?
Yeah, he was at the residence.
Okay, and what did he ride there that day?
And on a motorcycle.
Okay, you know what kind of motorcycle?
Harley, I think.
Alright, and so he rode there on a motorcycle, and you looked out the window, and you saw your mother. Is that your testimony?
Yes.
And your son?
Yes.
Okay, and what was your mother doing?
She's trying to tell Walter to leave. He's not allowed to be on the property.
And did he leave at that point?
No.
So what did you do?
So I came out there, and I told Walter that he's not allowed on the property either. You better leave, because I'm going to call the cops if you don't leave.
How many times did you tell him?
About five. Five times. And
did he leave after the first time?
No. He didn't leave at all.
At what point? Did he ever leave after you asked him to? Immediately after you asked him to?
Well, after I tried... told him that, my husband Hank Higuera came out and told Walter to leave, just put his stuff back in his saddlebag and leave. And so probably he was at the property probably approximately 15-20 minutes, I think.
From the time that you first saw him, 15-20 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. And it was, to the best of your recollection, did you, how many times have you been told to leave this time?
Me, five times.
Okay. And other people were also telling him to leave, and he still wouldn't leave at this point?
Yes.
Okay, did he have any lawful, was he lawfully on your property in any way?
He was illegally.
I mean, did you give him permission to enter your property?
No.
And would you consider asking him to leave five times a reasonable request for him to leave?
Yes.
And you are the owner of the property?
My mom, Darlene Fuller, is. And my dad, Pete Fuller.
You live on the property as well?
Yes.
Okay. And... okay, and then at that point, what happened? How did this all eventually get resolved? After he'd been told by several people, did he just leave, or did something happen?
He finally left. He finally leave, and then we end up calling the sheriff, and the sheriffs come out, and they arrested Walter.
Okay. And is the defendant, Mr. Walter Berrien, in the courtroom today?
Yes.
Can you point to him and tell us what he's wearing?
He's wearing a navy blue suit with a orange polka dot tie and a white shirt.
I'm up to Mr. Berrien. He's been identified here in court today.
No further questions.
Mr. Berrien, if you have any questions for Ms. Watson.
Yes, I do.
Ms. Berrien, if you're going to be asking her to look at any documents, I'm going to have my clerk come down and pick things up from you, mark them, and take them back and forth to have Ms. Watson have a chance to see them, so.
Sure.
Do you have any exhibits marked yourself yet, Ms. Johnson?
No, yeah.
Okay. If we staple these various things together, Ms. Burin, would that be okay, or separately, or how do you want them?
Nah, work them separate at this time.
Yes, please. Ms. Johnson, why don't you take a look at them first?
Your Honor, the state would automatically object to defendant's exhibit number 4. It's previous evidence of alleged previous bad acts, none of which are felonies.
Right. Let's deal with one at a time. Have you had a chance to look at the other things, too? I'm just asking if you've had a chance to look at them yet.
Oh, yes, Your Honor.
Why don't you go ahead and hand me all those exhibits for identification. All right. So, I'm just taking it one by one. There's a handwritten note. Is that theoretically something written by Ms. Watson herself?
Correct.
So are you asking me to give that to her to see if she recognizes it? Yes?
Yes.
Ms. Watson, take a look at exhibit number 1. And Mr. Buehring, please go ahead and ask questions. We're going to intensely, I'm going to try to keep the emotional level down all ways, back and forth around. So please, if you have any questions you'd like to ask Ms. Watson about what she's now had a chance to look at, please go ahead and ask that question, Mr. Buehring.
Yes, I recognize this.
All right. So did you want to ask her a question about that?
Surely. Good afternoon, Debbie. Was that a statement assigned by you and provided to the Ohio Sheriff's Office?
Yes, and that's the truth.
And was it requested by the Ohio Sheriff?
Yes.
Was it written at the time of the incident or afterwards?
At that time of the incident.
All right. So the date of April 21st is correct?
Yes.
All right. Next exhibit.
Exhibit number 2, a couple photos.
Those are two pictures taken at the time when I had stopped out on April 21st. Of my son, our son, John.
Ms. Buehring, if I could, ask your question in the form of a question, because what you were just starting to say, you're starting to say who the picture was about or what it was taken, and you're not the witness at this time. So a good way, Ms. Buehring, if you're going to be asking a question, a good way to know you're asking a question, if you start off by saying, isn't it true that, and then fill in the rest of the question, either she's going to agree with you or not agree with you, but at least you know that's a question, whatever it is you're asking.
Yes, I recognize.
I should wait for the question. So, do you have a question about those pictures?
Were those two pictures taken on April 21st morning by myself, taken by myself?
I wasn't outside at the time when you took it.
All right. You recognize the geography of those two pictures?
Yes, when you sent it in mail to my son.
Right. And from your observation of the pictures, those two pictures were taken when I had stopped by on April 21st?
Yes.
And in our son's hands, what do you see?
Uh, some sort of object. Can't make of it.
Do you remember him receiving a CD with pictures on it?
Yes.
If you take a closer look and see if that is what that appears to be.
Okay.
Now, her son, John, was he waiting outside for me to arrive?
Well, I didn't know you were coming. Our son didn't tell us you were coming.
So, when he was asked you if you'd like me to take you, Hank, and Darlene out for lunch, when I stopped by, you're saying he never asked you?
He asked me. I never answered.
Okay, well, when he asked you, you just didn't answer him?
No.
Okay. And did he mention it was just for... I was stopping by for 5 or 10 minutes?
Not over at the house.
So on the aspect of me asking you, Hank, and Darlene out for lunch, after I stopped by, he just asked you if you wanted to go out for lunch.
When did you ask this?
When I was first coming down, initially it was 2 weeks before I actually did. I had to cancel. I had asked it before.
Objection, Your Honor. I'll be asking questions.
She's asking me a question.
Okay. Basically, if we get back to you asking the question, then, so if you want to refer to, didn't something happen 2 weeks ago, you could lead her into that type of area, but rather than conversation back and forth, I'll grant that particular part of the objection.
Originally, I was, we were that I was planning on coming out on April 14th, originally.
No.
At that time, though, about a week before, did our son, John Joseph, ask if you, Darlene and Hank, would like me to take him out to lunch?
No, he never asked me that.
At that time?
At that time.
Then, before April 21st, a week before that, he just asked you one time before the 21st.
Not that I recall.
Well, you just gave testimony saying that you just didn't answer him when he asked you before. What's that? And that was before April 21st when you just didn't answer him.
Now, he probably mentioned it before 21st.
And you just didn't answer him?
No, I didn't answer him.
All right. Were you listening to him on the phone where he said no, they did not want to go?
I was in another room.
So you did not hear him say on the phone to me that no, they did not want to go to lunch?
I was in the other room. I did not hear him say it.
Are you aware that he did tell him that?
No, I was not aware. Right.
And from 2000 to 2006, I had sole custody of our son John Joseph, correct?
Yes, but what does that have to do with this hearing?
Let's just go ahead and answer the question. If it goes too far afield, I'm sure somebody else will be attacking. So the answer is yes.
Yes. And then from 2006 to present, you have had full custody of our son, John Joseph, correct?
Correct.
During that time period, have you called me to give me updates regarding our son?
No.
Have you sent any information to me regarding things our son may be involved in, or school, or medical?
No.
Have you had any conversations with me if I had asked to speak to you? Did you speak to me?
No.
So virtually there was no contact?
No contact.
And when I arrived on April 21st, you say you were up at the house, correct?
I was in the fifth wheel.
All right. And then Darlene Fuller had approached me, correct?
Yes. After I heard the dog barking.
Right. And I was with John Joseph for, what, approximately 45 seconds to a minute before Darlene approached me?
Correct.
And
I guess.
How long after Darlene approached me did you approach? A minute later, 2 minutes later?
I think a minute or two later.
Okay. And who approached me first, yourself or Hank?
Myself.
And then did Hank Aguilera approach me?
Did then. He approached you, yes.
Was that about 30 seconds after you had approached me?
Yes.
And you then told, you did not hear the conversation that Darlene had with me prior to coming down to that location?
No, but just the way her, her body language was, I figured.
And the fifth wheel is, now I pulled in about a third up the driveway.
Not that fifth wheel, the other fifth wheel, the new fifth wheel.
Up by the house?
Yes.
Alright. And I pulled about a third of the way, halfway up the driveway, and stopped my motorcycle.
Did he do that?
Down by the front trailer up in the, you know, closer to the street.
I have no idea. Don't know.
From that picture where you see my bike stopped, is that the location that I'm referencing about a third of the way up the driveway?
I was just going to keep the picture.
Okay, sorry.
It looked halfway.
And the fifth wheel is, what, approximately 100 yards from that point?
I reckon.
Right. So, when you gave earlier testimony that when Darlene had approached me, she was telling me to leave and so forth, you were not present to hear those comments being made. You were still on the fifth wheel.
Correct.
Right. So you're assuming she was saying that.
Correct.
Now, on the motorcycle, I have two side bags, leather side bags. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
And did I take my camera out of one of the side bags?
Not that I
had my camera in my hand?
Not that I recall.
Did you see a camera in my hand?
No.
No. But you did see the CD in John Joseph's hands?
Yes.
Right. Now, when I was asked to leave, did I walk back over to my motorcycle?
You were still at your motorcycle when I asked you to leave.
Right. And did I then put a camera back in the side bags of the motorcycle?
You didn't have a camera.
The camera I took the picture with of that you were looking at.
I didn't see no camera in your hands.
And did you see me strap up my motorcycle side bags, left and right?
Yes.
Did I then get back on my motorcycle?
After a while.
Did I wave goodbye to yourself, John Joseph, Darlene?
Now my back was turned.
Did you hear the motorcycle start?
Yes.
Did you see me driving out of the driveway?
Finally.
Yes. And the other exhibit, which she was not seeing? Was there a little map?
Oh, I'm sorry. Exhibit 3 is a map, yes.
If you could look at that map. Are you familiar with the Williamson Valley Road?
Yes.
And you see the A and the B on the map?
Yes.
Is the B representative of 14825 Deerview Trail?
On the side here, it says my address, but not on the map.
Where the little B is.
Yeah, but my address is not where the B is.
Well, that's the, from Google Maps, showing the address, which is typed in, so that's the address it shows on the map.
I'm not a computer geek.
Okay. But on the, you see where it says A?
Yes.
Are you familiar with that location?
Yes.
All right, and you know how the sheriff's office has a depot station there, the Williamson Valley Sheriff Station?
Yes.
Which is where the A is, correct?
Yes.
And that's approximately a little over 8 miles from there to your house, your location?
I reckon.
All right. Was this one given also?
No.
Just an aerial view of the...
Just let exhibit come in. Exhibit number 5 looks like a aerial view.
From the county assessor's office site.
Okay. Thank you, Johnson. All right, so I'm going to show that to you.
That's an aerial view of 14825 Deerview Trail. Is that correct?
It's all blurry.
Cancel. But it is a blurry picture of 14825 Deerview Trail, correct?
Well, I can't. If it wasn't blurry, I would be able to identify it.
Well, it shows the driveway and the house and the trailers. You see the approximate position of the buildings and the trailer and so forth and the house.
I only see barely.
Barely. And the actual address is approximately what, about 4 acres property?
I think so.
And you can see the driveway in that picture, though, correct?
I guess.
All right. And where I had stopped was about a third of the way up the driveway, correct?
Halfway.
Or halfway up the driveway. All right. And I think there was one other exhibit there. Sorry.
It appears to be an allegation that Ms. Watson may have had a misdemeanor conviction in the past, maybe 9 years ago. No, 5 years ago, excuse me. And I'm going to, Mr. Johnson had objected to the use of that.
Isn't that a felony?
No. It looks to me like a misdemeanor.
Oh, okay.
And basically, I am going to sustain the objection. So it's not relevant to challenge somebody, to impeach somebody because of a misdemeanor that happened 5 years ago.
I was not aware of it. I thought an extreme DUI was a felony.
No, it is not. The allegation is that it's, no, it's not. It's a misdemeanor. And so, Mr. Burian, I'm not going to let you use a alleged or possible misdemeanor conviction to challenge this witness's veracity, if that's what you're trying to do with this particular thing.
If I'd known it was a misdemeanor, wouldn't it? I thought it was a felony.
It is a misdemeanor. So, all right, so... any further questions you might have for Ms. Watson?
Let's see here. When I stopped by, basically when you first saw me from the fifth wheel, John Joseph was basically waiting for me when I got there. He came right over to me, correct?
I was in the fifth wheel.
When you first saw me was when?
April 21st.
From the fifth wheel, when's the first time you saw me? When Grandma had approached me and was talking to me?
Yes, and John was already there.
Correct. And when you did approach, who was standing on the porch of the house?
No one, I recall.
I recall seeing Gloria, our daughter.
Oh, yes.
And I also recall seeing you standing next to her.
Is this a question, Your Honor?
Yes. Were you standing next to Gloria?
Yes, because you scared her to death.
And how far is the house from the fifth wheel?
Not that far. Just a few walking distance.
50 yards?
No. I'd say about 20 steps.
About 20 yards. Usually a full step is about a yard.
I guess.
All right.
Whatever.
And when did you go up on the porch from the fifth wheel?
As I'm trying to tell you to leave.
Hmm?
As when I'm trying to tell you to leave.
Well, if you were on the porch with Gloria, that's 100 and some odd yards from where I was.
Yes, and then I went up to you and I told you to leave. I'm going to call the cops, and you said the sheriff's already there, and I'm like, then I started walking back towards the deck because Hank was already there, and Gloria's was already there, so I was just standing right next to her, comforting her.
So you're up at the house about 100 and some odd yards away.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't present to hear the conversation between Hank and Grandma. Darlene Fuller.
Oh, I heard Hank's conversation.
From the house?
I was standing. Well, I figure what he was saying, yes.
Figure guessing what he was saying.
But when I was standing there and when he approached me, I heard him tell you to get off the property. You better get off the property. You're not welcome here.
So, effectively, the statement you signed was what you heard from the porch on the house.
Well, the written statement is the truth.
Right, and basically, what you wrote on the statement as being the truth is what you heard from the house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Over 100 yards away from where I was.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right, and when I left, did Hank and Grandma then just walk back to the house?
Yes.
And did Grandma then, well, Darlene Fuller, did she then call 911?
Yes.
All right. And how long was that after it left? 30 seconds?
2 seconds.
So 10 or 15 seconds after?
Yes.
All right. And were you told that I had stopped at the Williamson Valley Firehouse and called the deputy sheriff?
By whom?
Anyone.
Not that I recall.
Okay. And last question. Were you requested to sign this? What? Who requested for you to sign that statement?
The sheriff.
And do you remember his name?
Not that I recall.
You see him in this courtroom?
Yes.
Can you point him out?
Him.
That's Sergeant Howard.
He looks familiar.
Prosecution, this is Sergeant Howard.
This is Deputy Stover.
The deputy that came out right after I had left and spoke with you and Hank and Darlene for approximately 15, 20 minutes was not the deputy who was, he may have come out later, but you don't remember the name Sergeant Howard.
Well, I have a paperwork that has their names on it. I don't recall, I'm not good at names.
And it was only one deputy that came out and spoke with you, correct?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to note this is not Sergeant Howard.
Whatever.
Okay. I don't know if he's in the courtroom. Sergeant Howard? Is this the person you spoke with?
Yes.
Okay. Noted that the deputy who spoke to deputy was Sergeant Howard. No further questions.
Mr. Stress.
Yes, so you testified that he rode his motorcycle about halfway up the driveway on a 4-acre property? Approximately. So he was definitely on the property?
Oh, yeah. Yes, most definitely on the property.
Regardless of any conversations that may or may not have happened with any children, did any of the adults who were in lawful control of the property ever give him permission to come to your to that property that day?
No.
All right. And regardless of any other conversations that happened, when you did you give any reasonable request to the defendant, Mr. Burian, to leave that day?
I just told him to leave. He's not welcome, or I'm going to call the cops.
And how many times did you tell him approximately?
Approximately, my knowledge, 5 times.
No further questions.
You may sit down. Thank you.
One brief question.
Sure.
And the property was not posted, no trespassing or anything else, correct?
Correct.
And I was never told not to come there?
We went to court here in Yavapai, and it's still in effect that you are not allowed to be on the property. Even the Maricopa Family Court says you're not allowed to come on our property, and you're illegally on our property, whether no trespassing signs on it or not.
You've seen paperwork that says that from the court.
I have paperwork.
From this court when an order of protection was signed.
When
the court issued an order of protection, you did see that and participate with that, correct?
Yes.
That says I am not to be on the property, correct?
That too.
And is there any other documentation? Because I've never seen any myself.
Yes.
Did you produce it to the prosecutor?
To the sheriff. To the sheriff.
Are you talking about the minute entry for visitation? The minute entry for visitation, correct?
Yes.
Shown to Mr. Johnson first. You want me to show this to Ms. Watson, Ms. Reardon?
Custody and visitation order issued by the Maricopa County Court for custody and visitation, correct?
Well, the state would object that this evidence was never disclosed to the state previously.
That was submitted via pleading 3 months ago on my original motion to dismiss as an exhibit.
I'm going to overrule the objection. Got a chance to look at that, Ms. Walter?
Not yet.
Mm. you're here for a mediation. If you could check in with the clerks at the window, because the mediator will be trying to get you and the other side together, so you might just double check in with the civil window. Do you have a chance to look at that, Ms. Watson?
Just a minute. But
on page 3, last paragraph, is this correct? As it reads, it is ordered that the mother has sole legal and physical custody of John Joseph J.J. Burian, that the father is parenting time with both J.J. and Gloria Burian suspended until further order of this court. The father is permitted to have telephone contact with both children, but he is not to discuss with the children the topics of custody, parenting time, visitation, or the children's mother, family, or friends. Father may initiate no more than one call per day, and any telephone calls must begin no later than 8 a.m. and end no later than 7 p.m. Arizona time. Neither mother nor anyone acting in her behalf is permitted to monitor the telephone conversations, and she is not permitted to require the conversation to be held on speakerphone. Neither mother nor anyone acting in her behalf is permitted to question the children about the subjects discussed during the telephone calls with the father. Is that correctly? Correct?
Correct.
And this is the last standing custody and visitation order of the Maricopa Superior Courts, correct?
Correct.
Right. And this is what you're referencing to regarding I am not allowed on the property?
No. I'm regarding the one in Yavapai County and Maricopa County saying that the father shall not trespass on the property.
The ones that were issued after April 21st?
It has been years ago.
I've not seen it myself. The so, but this is the standing Maricopa County court orders, correct? Last issue.
Yes.
Custody invitation and so forth. And the one last notation: when I was out there on April 21st, with my demeanor approximately same as it is now.
Yeah.
I was not yelling or hostile in any way?
No.
Did I threaten anyone in any way?
No.
When I left, was I friendly and waved goodbye?
I don't know. My back was turned.
You were up on the porch?
Yeah, back was turned.
Yeah. All right, no further questions.
Ms. Johnson?
Oh, would you agree with me that Mr. Burian is being charged with trespassing on the property, not for making phone calls?
Just trespassing on the property.
Okay. No further questions.
You may sit down. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Johnson.
State calls Ms. Darlene Fuller to stand, please.
Ms. Fuller, please come on. And you swear to tell the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth, so you have?
Yes, I do.
What is your name, please?
Darlene Fuller.
Thank you, Ms. Fuller. Mr. Officer, may I proceed?
Ms. Fuller, on April 21st, 2012, were you also at 14825 North Deer View Trail in Prescott, Arizona?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the, at what time approximately was the first time that you saw Mr. Burian?
I think it was around 10 o'clock.
About 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Okay, and was Mr. Burian's son out on the yard already?
Yes.
Okay. And did he say, did you see Mr. Burian? Did you see the son before you saw Mr. Burian?
I was in the yard first, take care of the birds, and then my sidekick, my grandson, comes out to help me, as usual. And we were both out there, going to feed the birds and water them. So I was out first, and my grandson.
So you were out first, then your grandson?
Yes.
Okay, why did he come out?
to help me feed the birds and water them and whatever I'm going to do, he's right there.
Okay, and then how much time had elapsed after that until Mr. Burian arrived?
Maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
And did he stay on the road or did he come onto your property?
He come zipping up the driveway on his motorcycle, which I hadn't seen him in 5 years. I didn't know who it was. My dog was having a fit.
And did it look like he purposefully came onto your property, or was it an accidental turn?
No, it was strictly intentional, by all means.
And did you ever give him any lawful permission to enter your property?
No.
And this is your property, correct?
Yes, 30 years.
Okay, and did you, what happened when he pulled up?
I had a helmet and leathers on and goggles, and I didn't know who he was. And I said, what do you want? And the dog is right there at the motorcycle, and he gets off. Now I feel really intimidated by a stranger on the property, which is very unusual, and on a motorcycle. And he took his helmet off, and he said, hi, John. And then I recognized his voice as to be Walter. And I said, what are you doing here?
And your dog was barking at him?
Yes.
Did you ever call the dog off?
I called the dog, but he stayed between us. He wouldn't
you
come
never
to
actually moved the dog or anything? You let the dog stay between you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so what did you say at that point when you recognized his voice?
I said, what are you doing here? And he ignored me and was talking to John. And I said, you're not allowed to be here. It's you have phone contact only. And he just ignored me still. And I told him again, I want you to leave. And he said to John, come here, John. And I said, John, don't do that. You stay with Grandma. And then he said, told John again, come here, John. And then John starts walking towards him. And I said, I'm going in the house and calling the police. And at that point, when I said that, was the same time I realized my daughter was standing there and Hank was coming up behind her. So that's when I left to go in the house, because I felt John would be okay with my daughter there, and I wanted to get the police there. So I went in and called 911, and they said Walter had already called them. So I was confused, and the time I went back out, I guess it was about 5 minutes later, why he was pulling out of the driveway.
Okay. And so you asked him multiple times to leave?
I don't know how many times. Yeah.
More than once?
3 or 4. I was just, at first, just dumbfounded with the whole thing and intimidated by the motorcycle and the leathers and I said.
But you did ask him several times.
Three times or more.
And he never left after you asked him each time?
No, I went in the house to call him. Debbie was out there telling him he wasn't allowed to be there. And Hank was following up behind her, so I felt they had it under control while I went in.
Okay. And later, were you interviewed by any deputies?
Yes.
And did you tell them the same stories here?
I think so.
To the best you were.
Yes.
Okay. No further questions, John.
Ms. Perry.
Good evening. Afternoon, darling.
Good afternoon.
No, you're doing an excellent job with kids, by the way. Both Kate and Gloria. On the day I arrived on April 21st on the motorcycle, you say you went out to feed the birds, correct?
Correct.
Now, was that about 10 o'clock Saturday morning?
I think it was about 10.
All right. And JJ was in the driveway when the motorcycle pulled in, correct?
We both were in front of the house in the driveway, yeah.
Did JJ approach me?
No.
He did not approach me?
No, he didn't.
When you approached, did you see a camera in my hand?
I don't recall, Walter.
You don't recall. Can you show Darlene the picture exhibit of John Joseph? Two color pictures.
Are there some pictures maybe in front of you now? Are there some pictures on the railing there?
But I saw the pictures he mailed. It was at our property, in front of his motorcycle.
There we go. Those pictures I think he's asking for. Mr. Brian, you have a question?
No.
Cute picture.
So the those that picture was taken by myself, correct?
We didn't take it, so you must have been there with the camera.
Correct. And John Joseph in the picture, he's standing there in front of the motorcycle, correct?
That's right.
And you see him holding the CD in his hand.
That could be a CD.
Correct. And you're aware that I gave him that CD when I arrived, correct?
You did tell him you wanted to give him something when I was going into the house, and that's probably when you did it.
That CD. Did you listen to your daughter Debbie's testimony?
Yes, I did.
Do you agree with what she said?
Not on everything.
Would you like to correct anything she said?
The coming on the property was not stated by order of the court anything to do with the property. It was no only phone visitation with the children, which implies no physical visitation, and I've been secure with that all these years. So, you know, especially since you kidnapped him 6 years ago and got arrested in, you know, in New Jersey, is it? In a police chase, and he's been traumatized over that. I've been relaxed knowing he's safe with me, and now all of a sudden you show up, and I don't, you know, if I'd been there alone with him, what's to keep you from grabbing him and taking him? So, you know, that's...
Now, the word kidnapping is a colorful word. Was I ever charged with kidnapping?
No, you weren't. I used that loosely.
Did I not go to New Jersey after giving several months, if not years, notice I was...
Pardon?
...in New Jersey with John Joseph?
Pardon?
Didn't I file notices with the court and documentation?
You were never given any permission to go. You were told,
right,
you were told you could not leave Arizona...
After I arrived in New Jersey.
No, before. You were told not to go.
Did I not have?
That's why you were. That's why you were arrested. You weren't supposed to be there with him.
I was arrested, having nothing to do with the custody or visitation.
That's what got it going.
Can we move on, Mr. Curran? Really, happened 6 years ago, not well.
Sure. The aspect of you just mentioned you. Came down with John Joseph. When you asked me to leave several times, when you first approached me, the first comment I remember you hearing was, "Walter, you can't show up here unannounced." Did you say that?
No. No.
You didn't say you can't show up here unannounced?
No.
I did not say I'd invited everyone out for lunch?
No.
Did you say, so you're saying the only thing you said was, you have to leave?
You're not allowed to be here. I want you to leave.
Right.
And again, since you ignored me, I repeated it. You're not allowed to be here. I want you to leave. Again, you ignored me and called John over. I said, I want you to leave. I'm going to go and call the police. And you said, I already did. And when I called 911, they told me you'd called them.
Oh, okay. So you, then I just state that I have the sheriff's office standing by, correct?
I don't remember your exact words. I was very upset.
Okay, but you just stated that I did call. You had noted that I had called the sheriff prior to being...
You told me you had already called him.
Correct. Now, when I did start to leave, Debbie was up on the porch?
When I looked out when you were going down the driveway, she was on the porch with Gloria.
Correct. And you were with Hank?
No, I was in the house. I looked out the sliding glass door.
Okay, so Debbie's testimony that you and Hank walked back to the house together was...
She was mistaken. I was never out there when he was out there.
And being that I was on a motorcycle when I went to leave, I put my, when I had my camera and so forth, back in my saddlebags, correct?
I wouldn't know, Walter. I went to my room to call 911, and when I came back out of my room...
I was gone.
You were pulling out of the driveway. It took me a while to calm Gloria down before I called 911. I was in the house about 4 or 5 minutes before I got her calmed down. I didn't want her to be upset while I was on the phone, and...
Do you remember the call you placed to 911?
I do remember the call.
You remember stating on the call that it was regarding a custody situation, the father was here?
No, I don't remember using past tense.
Okay, so you do not remember using the term was here?
No.
Okay. Do you remember being asked if there was any court orders that kept him from being in the on the property?
No. You talking about the 911 call?
Correct.
No.
And what about when the deputy called you back? Do you remember the deputy asking you if there was any court order?
No one called me back.
Hmm?
No one called me back.
So when you call 911, you don't remember being transferred to the deputy?
No, I don't.
That was involved. And talking to him for at length?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that? All right. And when was the last time I was over your house?
12 years ago?
12 years ago. Myself and my father were invited over for dinner, correct?
Right.
And that was the last time I was at your house, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did I ever stop by your house between that time?
No, not that I'm aware of. You probably were, you know, had it staked out at times, but I wouldn't see you.
Since Debbie was on since Debbie has had custody of John Joseph for the last 6 years, have you ever called me?
No. Oh, no.
Have you received the gifts that were sent to you from me?
To me?
Yeah. Flowers for Mother's Day and gift cards.
No.
You didn't get the flowers for Mother's Day?
No.
Not this year, but...
No.
The steak knife kits and so forth? You didn't receive any of the gifts?
Oh, the box of steak knives and... Yeah.
You didn't get the flowers that were delivered on two or three occasions?
No.
And did you ever call me at all, ever?
No.
Never?
No.
And when I have we talked on the phone for the last 3 or 4 years?
Objection, relevance.
Establishing relationship.
Well, you know, last any phone calls in the last 3 or 4 years?
No.
All right.
No further questions.
All right, Ms. Johnson.
No further questions.
You may sit down.
Thank you.
State calls Mr. Hank Figuera.
Mr. Figuera, come on up, please. Have a seat there, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
And if I could have you raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so you got it.
I do.
Thank you. Good. Tell us your name.
Henry Higuera.
Thank you, Mr. Higuera. You may proceed, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Higuera, is it all right if I call you Hank?
Yep.
All right. Again, on April 21st, 2012, were you at 14825 North Fairview Trail, Prescott, Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, and what was the first time, when was the first time that you saw Mr. Burian?
I think Debbie said something, and then she left. And then, I looked out and I didn't recognize him at first, and then so Debbie went out, and then I put my boots on and went out after. She was, I heard her telling him to leave, that he wasn't allowed there, you know, and then he kept talking to JJ. he ignored everybody. And then finally I walked up and told him that he needed to leave, and I told him at least 3 times. And he ignored me. He was messing with his motorcycle. And he wasn't 100 yards from the house. He was like 50 feet from the house. Where he was parked is a slab, and that's 50 foot from the house.
Okay, and you live on the property?
Yes.
Okay. And so you asked him, you stated three or four times, did you say?
3 times, a good 3 times. I told him that he had needed to leave. He had no business there.
Okay, and did you consider what you were telling him a reasonable request for him to leave the property?
Well, after being told so many times, yes, he should have gone. You know, he should have already been gone. And anyways, I finally he left.
Did you ever give him permission to come onto the property?
No.
No. Do you know of anyone that gave him permission to come on the property?
He's not allowed on the property.
And you, so you say that you heard other people asking to leave prior to you?
Oh, yes. Darlene, I saw Darlene out there, and Debbie was, she was in the fifth wheel, and then she left. And then I put my boots on, went out behind her, probably half a minute behind her, and she told him at least three or four times that I heard for him to leave, that he wasn't allowed there, and she was going to call the cops. And then she was getting kind of upset, so I went, that's when I went and told him that he had better leave right away. He needs to leave. And he's not allowed there. And
during the three or four times that you asked him to leave, he never acknowledged anything that
you He never said anything. He was messing with his motorcycle.
Did he even look at you or anything?
Yeah, he looked at me. And then before he left, he said, well, when's the last time you rode a motorcycle? And then he left.
Okay, and later were you interviewed by the deputies?
Yes.
Did you tell them the same story?
Yes.
Okay, no further questions.
Yes, Mr. Barron.
Hank.
Yeah.
You were interviewed by deputies or one deputy?
What was that now?
You were interviewed by one deputy, Sergeant Howard?
Yes.
Correct, one deputy. And now, from the best of your recollection, when I ride on the motorcycle, I shut the motorcycle off, put the kickstand down, parked it, and JJ approached me, correct?
I don't know. I didn't see that part.
You're still in the fifth wheel?
No, after Deborah told me that you were at, she said it's Walter, that's when I started paying attention.
Now, were you on the porch or in the fifth wheel?
No, I was in the fifth wheel.
In the fifth wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're aware that Darlene approached me first, correct?
Yes.
All right. And you approached me 30 seconds later?
Pardon?
Then you approached me 30 seconds later after Darlene had approached me?
Deborah, no, it was a little while. It was probably a couple of minutes before Deborah went out there.
About a minute or so.
A couple minutes, yes.
2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you approached me, you were a little bit mad that I was there, correct?
Mad?
All right.
I think I was a little upset, not mad. You know.
And you did say, "Well, you can't be here. You have to leave," correct?
I told you strongly that you needed to leave.
I needed to leave, correct?
Yes. You're not allowed there.
Then I said one thing to you only. I asked you a question. I asked you, "Hank, did you ever own a motorcycle?"
No, you didn't ask me that.
So
what
you
said was...
You didn't reply back to me, "No, I've never had a motorcycle."
No, I never said that. What you said, you got on a motorcycle, and that when you're getting ready to leave, and you, the only thing you ever said to me was, "When was the last time you rode a motorcycle?" And then fired it up, smiled, and left.
You said never.
I said nothing.
You didn't say
nothing to say to you, Walter, so...
Okay, so you didn't reply back. And the... when I left, I went over to my motorcycle, closed up my side bags and left and the right, got back on the motorcycle.
Did you see me there?
Pardon?
Let's make that a question. So did you see him go close up saddlebags?
Yeah, I told him to... About three times to leave, then he finally started putting the straps on his side, on his saddlebags.
And I got back on the motorcycle.
Yep,
correct?
And then you left.
Then I started the motorcycle, correct?
Yep, and that's when you said, when was the last time you were on a motorcycle?
And then I put my helmet on?
I don't remember. You know, I don't remember you putting your helmet on. It doesn't matter.
But then I did wave goodbye to everyone, correct? You. Mm-hmm. Darlene, Debbie, and
yeah, then you left.
JJ and Glory up on the porch.
Yep.
Debbie up on the porch. And I turned around, bike turned in the opposite direction, and drove off, correct?
Yes.
Was ever hostile in any way?
Pardon?
Was ever, did that make any hostile?
I don't think hostile had anything to do with it, Walter.
Was I threatening?
No, you weren't threatening.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, No further questions.
Okay.
No further questions.
You may
sit down.
Thank you.
Oh.
Hold on.
Look at that one picture.
Mr. Garrett, hold on just a second, sir. Why don't you come back up? I think Mr. Garrett wants you to look at the picture.
Did
watch me take those pictures?
No. I wasn't paying attention. The only thing I was concerned with is you just being there, Walter.
Is there anyone else in those pictures? Yourself, Debbie?
No.
Just John, just correct?
That's it.
And does it look very casual and very, does it look very casual?
Pardon?
I'm saying it doesn't look rushed. It's a very casual picture, right?
What?
All right, no further questions. Were you aware that I had invited you, Debbie, and Darlene out for lunch?
Yeah, but you know, we would never go. You know that. Okay, as long as you know that, we would never go with you.
So that's why you refused, told JJ you refused to go, because you would not go.
Pardon?
So you just told JJ you didn't want to go? No.
And I didn't tell JJ anything.
Okay, so when you were asked, you were just, no reply?
No.
No further questions?
Nothing further. Thank you, Mr. Fenn.
Your Honor, the state calls Deputy Stover to the stand.
Come up. Will you tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of the end?
You.
Have a seat. Mr. Careful, will you tell us your name?
Ethan Stover, Stover.
You may proceed.
Deputy Stover, on April 21st, 2012, did you receive a phone call from Mr. Burian? Or when was the first time that you made contact with Mr. Burian?
April 21st.
Okay. And what was that? What was the situation then?
He was calling in to request a civil standby to do a visit with his son.
Okay. And did you give him a call back to answer if he could do that?
Yes, I talked to him about it.
Okay, and what did you tell him?
I told him that we would not do a civil standby for a visitation.
Okay, and what did he say to that?
He said that he also wanted to give his son a CD, I believe it was, give his son something. And I said, we're not going to do a civil standby for you.
So did he say anything else to you about the Sheriff's Department not giving him a civil standby?
Yes, he said that if he went out to the residence in question here and he got hurt, that it would be the Sheriff's Office responsibility, basically, for him being hurt.
Okay, and then what did you respond to him?
I said that if he went out to the residence and initiated any type of criminal act, that he would be the one responsible for that.
So you in no way, did you in any way give him any kind of permission to go without a civil standby?
No, I did not.
Did you advise him against doing anything without a civil standby?
I told him if he went out there and committed any criminal act, he would be responsible for it.
And later in the day, were you called to the residence of 14825 North Deerview Trail, Prescott, Arizona?
Yes.
And is that in the jurisdiction of this court?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And did you get a chance to interview anybody there?
I never responded fully to the residence. I went to the fire station where Mr. Burian was, and I only spoke with him.
Okay. And did he tell you that he had gone to the residence?
Yes, he did.
Did he ever deny going to the residence?
No, he did not.
Okay, no further questions.
Mr. Spirit.
On the date in question, April 21st, 2012, you had no contact with the accusers, Darlene Fuller, Debbie Watt, or Hank Aguilera in person, correct?
Correct.
You did make a phone call, correct, to Darlene Fuller?
I don't recall if I made it or if she called me.
You asked the dispatch, do you remember asking the dispatch to pass you through to Darlene Fuller?
Like I said, I don't remember who initiated the call.
Right.
But I spoke with her.
Right, on the phone. And you remember asking her if there was any court orders or any orders that prohibited me from stopping by the property?
I don't recall the conversation.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you would be able to recall it if you listened to it, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And was it Sergeant Howard who went out to location and talked to the three parties involved here?
Yes.
And you mentioned the first time we spoke was on April 21st. When I called the Alpine Sheriff's Office, before April 21st, did we not have a conversation?
I don't recall a conversation.
And when I spoke to you on April 21st regarding the civil standby when I requested it, did you not tell me that your sergeant said you could not do it?
Yes, I did tell you that.
Correct. And did I originally call and ask to meet you at the Williamson Valley Sheriff Depot Station?
I don't recall.
Didn't dispatch say I was waiting at the Williamson Valley Sheriff Depot Station?
I don't recall where they said you were waiting.
You remember calling me, correct?
I remember speaking to you on the phone.
Do you know approximately what time that was?
No, I do not.
No. The FBI sheriff's call log, the dispatcher, you're aware that they recorded their calls, correct?
Correct.
And the time that those calls were placed and ended is accurate, correct?
Yes.
To the best of your knowledge?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. And the last call that we had, you say you don't remember time or when it ended, began.
Are you asking me if I know
right,
that?
You don't remember when it, approximately what time it was or when it began or ended?
Is that are you asking me if
yes.
I don't remember?
Yeah. You said you didn't remember. I'm just reaffirming.
I don't remember any times.
But you will agree that the sheriff dispatch time logs are accurate. Okay.
Yes, like I said, yes.
All right. No further questions.
Mr. Goss.
No further questions, John.
Mr. Goss, thank you.
State rest.
Ms. Buehrig, this is, as I told you at the beginning of the case, the state has presented their side of the case now. You've got the absolute right to remain silent. You should testify for yourself or present evidence. That is entirely your right as well. So, do you wish to present any evidence on your side of the case?
Well, yes, I do, but Chief Bob Reed was subpoenaed. Do you know if he is present, or did he file a...
I believe that we issued a subpoena, but I don't believe he was subpoenaed. We sent you a copy of a subpoena.
All right. Yeah, and he's the Chief of Police of the Yavapai Indian Council, available to all law enforcement.
I'm trying to answer your question that you had a subpoena that you tried to get served. Constable Gardner returned to the subpoena as being Bob Reed out of town until after court date. A copy of that was mailed to you. The fact that the subpoena was not able to be served on Chief Reed, and so, no, it was not served on him. He apparently is not here, and so.
At least Bob Luckett, who can appear telephonically.
All right. Let's go ahead and get him on the phone. Mr. Johnson, you're on the record as far as opposing, but I'm just going to do an executive decision and get him on the phone. If, in fact, he's on the phone, I'll let him appear by phone. This is Judge Markham speaking. Is Bob Lockett available? Walter Buehrig was hoping that he was going to be able to get on a phone to be able to be a witness.
Well, he just had surgery, and he's on painkillers.
So he's not...
And we told Walter that he was going to be out of it because he's on painkillers. He had surgery 2 days ago, and I don't know if he can really talk on the phone.
All right, so because of the pain medication, you don't think he could testify then?
Right. Well, we sent a letter to the judge's office telling him
about... I'm just asking about Mr. Lockett's current condition. You're saying that he's currently on pain medication.
He's on pain medication, and when he takes that, it makes him sleep. So it's really hard for him to talk on the phone.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have all his faculties, because he's out of it with the pain medication from the surgery.
Ask her to ask him.
I'm sorry?
Ask her to ask him if he wants to come on the phone.
Mr. Buehrig is asking me to ask you to ask Mr. Lockett whether he wants to come to the phone or not. Is he able to talk at all?
Oh, God, I've been over this and over this with Walter. Hang on a second. I'm really tired of it. Just a minute. Okay, now he says he just can't right now. He can't concentrate enough to really make to talk on the phone.
Okay, ma'am, I do appreciate that. I'll go ahead and hang up now. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Ms. Guerin, unavailable, I'm afraid.
All right, I was afraid of that. He had recent surgery. He's been in pain quite actively.
All right, so, Ms. Guerin.
I'd like to call Sergeant Howard.
All right, Sergeant Howard, come on up. Good. Okay. Do you swear to tell the truth or the truth? That's the best you should be on.
I do.
So there we see. And one scruple. Go ahead, tell us your name.
Mark Howard.
Yes, Mr. Buren, go ahead.
Sergeant Howard, prior to April 21st, did we speak when you were at the Sheriff Depot station? Probably around April 17th, maybe 18th.
We had, I believe, one or two conversations prior to that, to May 21st, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I was requesting a civil standby, correct?
That's correct.
I mentioned I'd be seeing my son stopping at a property out in 14825 Deer Creek Trail, correct?
That's correct.
Did I mention I needed a civil standby because I was concerned about the other parties fabricating information?
You requested a civil standby, and I advise you that we do not do civil standbys for visitation of children.
That wasn't the question. The question was, didn't I mention several times I was concerned about the other parties at that location lying, so I needed a witness there as witness when I stopped by that property? That was.
I don't recall that.
You don't recall that being asked multiple times?
Nope.
Or stated. Did I mention anything regarding my concern regarding the other parties at that location?
I believe you said that you were worried for your safety.
Why would I be worried for my safety?
I don't know. That's what you told me.
Did you ever hear me use the word that the other parties will fabricate?
I don't recall the conversation. I don't recall that.
And but you do remember me mentioning several times I needed a witness.
No, I remember you wanting me to provide you with a civil standby, and I advised you time and time again that we do not, the sheriff's office does not provide that per our policy.
On my first contact with you, didn't I first call saying that I called the sheriff's dispatch and they said I requested that I needed a civil standby. They told me a half an hour before it and they would provide one. I wanted to make sure it was set up, being that I was driving all the way from St. John's. I wanted it to be, logged in and ready for
I don't recall that.
April 21st at 10 a.m.
I don't recall that. I remember speaking to you on the phone. And you asking to have a civil standby, and I told you once I figured out what you wanted that I told you that the sheriff's office doesn't do that.
On our first conversation, did we not speak for about 35 to 40 minutes?
Seemed at least.
Right. And so wasn't that conversation rather extensive, covering quite a few points?
I couldn't get you to hang up the phone.
Right. And were you the one that told Deputy Stover they could not perform a civil standby?
That is correct.
On April 21st, when I called Deputy Stover to let him know how the stop went, did you respond to
let him know what?
On April 21st, at about 10:16 a.m. from the Williamson Valley Fire Station, I called Deputy Stover to give him an update on how the stop at 14825 Deer Creek Trail went. And he told me to wait at the fire station. Did you not appear with Deputy Stover at the fire station?
No, I don't know. Not that I recall.
You did not stop by in your cruiser with Deputy Stover at the fire station?
Oh, at the fire station, yes, I did.
Correct.
I'm sorry.
Did you then go over to 14825 Deerview Trail?
Yes, I did.
Were you over there for about 15, 20 minutes?
No, I don't know how long I was there. I was there for some time.
So at least 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
You then returned to the Williamson Valley Fire Station, and did you not instruct Deputy Stover to place me under arrest for trespassing at that time?
No, I took Deputy Stover pulled him aside and I explained to him the conversation I had with the people that were at the address, and the decision was made to arrest you for trespassing.
And was that decision made based on the statements that were signed by the three parties, Darlene Fuller, Debbie Wanton, and Hank Aguilar?
It was decided based on the facts, the evidence, the statements that we were able to obtain during the investigation.
And but you are aware that Deputy Silver had no physical contact with the three parties, Darlene Fuller, Debbie Wanton, or Hank Aguilar?
He spoke to them on the phone.
So effectively, the arrest was your arrest?
No. Was not. I did not place you under arrest. I did
you
not. I did not interview you. I believe I don't recall who decided that you were going to be arrested. It was Deputy Stover's call.
Deputy Stover has already testified that you instructed him to place me under arrest. Are you denying that?
I don't recall him saying here today.
Yes.
I don't recall that.
Did you ever have any contact with Darlene Fuller prior to April 21st, either in person or in phone by phone call?
I believe I had contact with her 2 years prior to that, but I don't remember what that was for.
But not prior to 2 years. So you had no contact with her a week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks prior, correct?
I don't believe I did.
You did not?
Did not.
Alright. And so if that was untrue, you would gladly resign immediately, correct?
Objection.
Next question, please.
Sure. You had no contact with me prior to the incident on April 21st, on April 21st, correct?
With you?
On April 21st, prior to the incident.
Not that I recall.
Prior to April 21st, did you have communications with the sheriff's deputy, sheriff's secretary?
I had email communication, yes.
Correct. And were you aware that I had asked the sheriff to okay a civil snap order?
Who was?
Correct. And did you state to the sheriff's office that it was not going to happen, that you were not going to perform a civil standby? Policy not to do a civil standby.
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance to the fact of the matter of whether Mr. Buehring was at the property trespassing or not doesn't.
Mr. Buehring, I'm wondering myself why is relevant.
The relevance was I had requested a civil standby on at least 10 or 15 occasions prior to April 21st. Every party I spoke to said, no problem, call us a half hour before. The only party that intervened to say no was Sergeant Howard. The sheriff's secretary said, not a problem, the sheriff should be able to do it. Sergeant Howard again intervened, making sure that it did not happen.
Mr. Buehring, how was it relevant to whether or not you trespassed or not?
Because the reason the request for a civil standby was I required a witness to make sure that fabrication was not made regarding...
Mr. Buehring, I'm going to let you argue that point. Sure. You're very well on the record that you asked for civil standby repeatedly and it was denied. So I'm going to say that it is not further relevant the substance of how the refusal got done. Rather, yes, it's clearly on the record the refusal was done to have a civil standby.
And Sergeant Howard, how long have you been with the Alabama Sheriff's Office?
19 years.
And you're quite familiar with the audio recording devices used by dispatch?
I'm not familiar with them at all.
Are you aware that they're very accurate on time?
I don't even know where they are in the building, to be honest with you.
So you've never used them for evidence, or have you used them for evidence in the past?
Objection, relevance again.
If they're used for evidence and they're accurate.
No, as far as timestamps logs, you use timestamps logs provided by dispatch for your own purposes in writing reports.
Yes.
All right. Next question. All
right. After the deputy placed me under arrest, did you go on to other matters, or did you return back to the residence of 14825 Jerry Trail?
I think I waited for the tow truck to come pick up your motorcycle. And I don't remember if I went back to the residence or not. I don't recall.
Was the decision to impound the motorcycle your decision?
You were under arrest. Motorcycle was going to be towed. That's our policy.
So it was your decision to impound
it? I don't know whose decision it was.
Did you call in the tow?
I don't remember if I called for the tow or if Deputy Stover called for the tow.
All right. Did you ask me if I was at the fire station, Williamson Valley Fire Station? Did you even ask if I wanted to leave the vehicle there? And
objection, Your Honor. I'm sorry. It's relevance again.
I'm establishing that there was no, it was more intent to cause harm than to alleviate any further financial burden.
What was the question again, Mr. Curry?
Being that it was parked at the Williamson Valley Fire Station, was the offer made that, you know, because the fireman would have said I was fine that I left the bike there. Did you even consider leaving the bike there?
No.
I was going to let him answer the question. So, Mr. Johnson, I would have, you know, overruled the objection. So, move on to the next, another area, please.
Since the incident, have you learned or been provided with any other additional discovery in this matter?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Outside of the incident on April 21st, have you listened to any audio logs, audio
no.
conversations,
no.
other paperwork that was generated after?
No. There was a question reference in email. The email from Kathy David.
What exhibit? If you could, just the upper portion. So come on, you have an office on. Just the upper portion, so you tear off the bottom portion. The PRS charge I'm being charged with.
Okay. Is there any need to have the bottom portion of
No, Your Honor.
All right. All right. Copy of the statute about trespass.
Sergeant Howard, what I was arrested for was 13-1502A, correct?
I don't know. I didn't fill out the booking. You were arrested for trespassing.
Criminal trespass in the third degree.
Okay.
Could you read A and number one?
A1. A says a person commits criminal trespass in the third degree by knowingly entering or remaining unlawfully on any real property after a reasonable request to leave by the owner or any other person having lawful control over such property or reasonable notice prohibiting entry.
All right. And are you also familiar with a trespass warning?
Not really.
Have you ever issued a trespass warning in your career?
No, I don't think so.
So you don't know how to distinguish between a trespass warning and a charge of criminal trespass?
To me, a trespass warning would be somebody doesn't want somebody on their property. I go there, I tell the person to leave, and the people who own the property tell me I don't want them coming back. I look at the person and say, you've been trespassed from this property, don't come back.
Right.
That, I guess, would be a trespass warning.
Now, when you went out to the property of 14825 Deerview Trail, was I present?
No.
Where was I?
You were at the Williamson Valley Fire Department.
Why was I at the Williamson Valley Fire Department?
I don't know.
Are you aware that I called Deputy Stover to give him a status update on the stop?
No.
No. Were you told that I was waiting at the Williamson Valley Fire Station?
We were advised by dispatch that you were.
Correct. Now, on the aspect of the three statements you received from Darlene Fuller, Hank Aguilera, and Debbie Watton, with them stating I was there, you know, 15, 25 minutes, was that one of the predominant features of issuing the trespass complaint?
Objection, speculation, Officer Howard did not issue the complaint.
I'm going to let him answer if he can. There apparently was a discussion between himself and Deputy Stover.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
I think he's asking you the reasons why you and or Deputy Stover would have arrested him for criminal trespass for what? The probable cause to make such arrest?
Yes, was the probable cause the fact that you had been asked several times to leave the property and you refused to leave the property.
And you based that assumption on the statements that I was there for 15, 25 minutes.
I was advised 15 to 20 minutes.
On Debbie's and on Hank's and Darlene's, it says 25
minutes. All three subjects, yeah, all three of them told me that you were there for about 15 or 20 minutes after you had been told to leave several times.
All right. But you took the statements from them, correct?
That's correct.
And you handed the statements over to Deputy Stover, correct?
No, I actually filled out victim's forms for all of them, I believe. I gave them witness statements. I told them to fill them out and to turn them in when they get them done, that they could drop them off. I believe they dropped them off at our Williamson Valley substation sometime later.
All right. And this is an if question. If you had gone out to 14825 Deerview Trail, spoke to Darlene, Hank, and Debbie, they said, Walter, stop by here. We asked him to leave. He didn't leave right away. But he finally got on his motorcycle and left. And you said, how long was he here for? And they replied back with 4 or 5 minutes. Would you still have arrested me for trespass?
Objection, speculation.
It's a question of specific detail.
I'm going to sustain the objection.
Okay, I'll ask the question another way. On the statute 13502, when it says reasonable request to leave, someone's asked to leave, and it takes them a minute or two or three to leave, would that put them in violation of that statute?
Yes.
Why?
Because you were asked to leave and you didn't leave in a reasonable amount of time.
I'm saying is two minutes an unreasonable amount of time?
Ms. Barron, I'm going to let you make your arguments, but really this is not for this particular witness to be answering. So let's get to the end of the case, and I'll let both sides make arguments.
In your 19-year career, how...
Mr. Barron, maybe you didn't hear me say it, but move on to a different area, please.
Right. In your 19 years as a law enforcement officer, how many approximate citations have you issued for trespass?
I have no idea.
Over 10?
I have no idea.
Several?
I have no idea how many I've issued over 19 years.
But you have issued at least more than one.
Yes.
All right. No further questions.
Mr. Johnson.
Sergeant Howard, you said that you've been in deputy for 19 years?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question about that statute that you were given. Do you see anything in there about a trespass warning, that someone hasn't trespassed until they've been giving a trespass warning, whatever that is?
No.
Okay, and you stated that in your interview with the witnesses that it occurred to you that it came to you that that Mr. Burian was asked to leave multiple times.
That is correct.
And that was the basis for the arrest.
That is correct.
And were the conversations that you had with three witnesses similar to their testimony today?
Yes, very much.
Okay, no further questions, Your Honor.
You may sit down. Yes, Ms. Burian.
Being that Bob Locke's not available, Bob Reed's not available, the remaining portion of my case is strictly the playing of the audio logs to establish timelines, which clearly establish, based on those timelines...
Would you like to be able to play a log or what?
Hmm?
Are you set up to be able to play a log?
Yep. It'll play the tapes and it has exact timelines, so showing exactly when it began and when it ended.
Okay.
I can note for the court.
All right.
And I submitted the ECD as an exhibit a month ago.
Ms. Burian, it's nice to submit things, but basically this is the time for trial, so this is the time that people offer evidence and either objections or whatever. So, and just so I understand, how long is it it's going to take to, what you intend to play?
It's basically three conversations, 15 minutes total.
Okay. I've got an extension card back in court in my office, so let me get it. I'll hand out so you can get yourself set up.